Father, we thank you for every child. Father, we thank you for every member of GMT. Father, we thank you for how you've been teaching and training them. And thank you for the presentations we've had and we just saw. Thank you for your hand that is upon each person. Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you adoration. That let the entrance of your word bring forth light and understanding to the simple. That as we go into your word this morning, Lord, open eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to know what the Spirit of God is saying. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. Special message to GMT, and is entitled Remember Your Creator in the Days of Your Youth. Remember your Creator what? In the days of your, because they are days of youth. Youth or youthful days will not last forever. Hello? You know, at this stage, GMT, some of us are still but you're not going to remain teenagers forever. So there's a season that you'll be part of the youth. And there'll be another season when you're out of it. So the Lord is saying to us, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And I'll read from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, from verse number 1 and 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. It reads, and I quote, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. Before the what? The difficult days come. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Two, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. And I'll read the same scripture from the Message Bible. From verse number 1, honor and enjoy your Creator while you are still young. Honor and what? Enjoy your Creator while you are still young, before the years take their toll. When suddenly you can't run as fast as you used to. Hello? When now the backs are bent. When the strength are slipping away. When you walk gingerly and you take one step after the other. Not like now that you don't even know which part. You just do everything. You just walk like that. Are you able to? But a time will come when you'll not be able to do that again. You'll be taking it one after the other. Why? Because the body is getting what? So he now says, remember, honor and enjoy your Creator while you are still young, before the years take their toll and your vigor wanes, before your vision dims and the world blows and the winter years keep you close to the fire. Praise God. I remember when I turned 40. When I turned 40, 20 years ago now, suddenly I noticed that, the same Bible I've been reading. What happened to? And in those days, we didn't have the Bible the way we have them now. They are on paper. What happened as the letterings, have they gone smaller or whatever it is? And I would do like this. Because those letterings were very small. And I could just read. Then suddenly, I just say, something is happening. Oh, wow, the years are taking their toll. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then I started learning how to defend my body. That you must learn to defend your body. I went for my eye test last week. And they checked me, they said, read B, read B, C, read D, read everything. And I read it. And the lady said to me, you are doing very well. And then he got to the very small one. I said, these ones are too small. I don't think I can read these ones. He said, you are doing very well. And do you know what? He said, you don't even need glasses to drive. Your eyes are good. But let me tell you this one. The year before, I went for the same test. And he said, read this. I tried to read it and everything like that. And the lady said, you may start to think of using glasses to drive. I said, no. I said, I'll be fine. I won't need that. Why did I? It's not arrogant. Because don't sign for a package that you don't what? Is it wrong to use glasses? No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying that don't sign for a package that you don't want. Learn to defend your body. Because you go here and they give this report, they give that report. They're not telling lies. They're giving it to you based on what they've discovered. But now it's not dependent on you whether you want to sign for that package. So if you don't like it, don't sign for it. Don't sign for it. They say, no. I won't. I'm not going to do that. You know. And then the lady did like this. He said, I can see that. Be thinking of maybe cataract in 10 years. I said, let me tell you now, no cataract in 10 years. I'm serious. You know, that's, I said, I'm no cataract in 10 years. He said, yes. He said, he looked at me like this. He said, I agree with you. Yes. We are in agreement. Amen. Praise God. Do you know that my eye test this year was better than last year? Better than last year. And it's not normal. That's not normal. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I've learned to defend my body. Because you're not going to be young forever. There are times that the eyes will start to dim. The body will start to what? About 7-8 years ago, I was preaching and I jumped on that place. I looked at the same place now, I just turned my head away. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because now I'm not as what? Young as I was 8 years ago. The body is also growing, what? Gradually older. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a natural progression because we are living in a fallen world. So before your vision dims and the world blows and the winter years keep you close to the fire, suddenly you feel more cold than you used to. And you do, the Bible says that children don't despise your parents when they are old. Because they are not as strong as they used to. Don't despise them. If you don't want your own children to despise you, don't despise them. Amen. But look at verse number 1. It says, remember. What does that remember? What does it mean? Recall to mind. Don't forget. Don't allow it to slip away. Remember. Keep yourself in remembrance. New King James, Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 1. God loves to keep us in remembrance. God does not want us to forget. He wants us to continue to remember what he has done for us. Remember his testimonies in our life. That's what keeps your faith strong. Because when you remember his testimonies, when you remember he showed up when everything seems not what? Not to be together. When you face the odds and you are not able, and you look at yourself, that no way can I make it through on my own. And then heaven showed up. Help came. Assistance came. And suddenly what seemed impossible is now becoming a testimony. Suddenly what seemed impossible that God has been able to turn it around. So don't forget those testimonies, because whenever we now face a new challenge, Satan wants us not to remember. Because he now looks as if, look at it. Why am I going to do this? How did he do the last one? Did he do the last one? Was he faithful? Did he come through? Did he answer you? Is he still on the throne?
And God says, remember now. That means that there will be a now season that you need to recall. Remember now. Remember what? Now. Some of us have shared powerful testimony 2 years ago, 3 years ago. But how about now? I say, how about now? Remember now in this now season. One of the first steps to walking in victory is not to forget the testimonies of what the Lord has done for you. Remember, because a time will come again that some challenges will rise up. Something will happen because we're living in a fallen world. And it says, when those things happen, remember. What do you remember? Now your Creator. Not just remember the experiences, but remember now your Creator. In fact, this is the second time or the first time in the entire Bible that God is presented as Creator after creation. After the week of creation. This is the first time that the word Creator is mentioned after the first week of creation. And look at what it's mentioned with. It said, remember now your creation in the days of youth. Linked to the youth. So don't forget. And parents, remind them too. Amen. Remind them. Share the testimonies of what God has done for you. Sometimes God, there's things that God will do for us as parents. We keep them away from our children. We don't share them at family altar. Because some of us don't have that. We don't keep them. So they don't know. They don't know what the Lord has done. What the Lord is doing. They don't know. They're just seeing that things are happening. And okay, daddy is so powerful. That's okay. Mommy is so powerful. That's fine. But let them know the one that's been doing it. Let them know how he turned the things around. Let them know. Let them know. That is why a time will come when we're going to put in the book the story of our campus. We're going to put in a book for generations to come. Because a time will come when we get to that place. Last week, Saturday, I was in the place and I didn't know this because of preparation towards the campus. And the people there, the pastor there said, please, we have a guest prophet all the way from New Zealand. I said, he said he would like to meet with you. And I said, oh, wow, that's fine. That's okay. You know, and I went to meet myself and mommy pastor went and we met with him and said, I just would like to share some things with you. He said, pray about it. He said, I was told that I've just bought the building. I said, yes. And then he said, but I saw some things as I was walking into that building. So what did you see, man of God? He said, I saw that the walls of the building are being broken down. And that not broken down and then you had to be expanding. Because what is there now could not contain the thing that God is about to do. He said, not only that, and I saw that the roof is also removed. And the thing is now going up, and the walls are broken. We've not even moved there. We've not even moved there. I said, that's what I saw. So I want to share that with you. And I said, thank you so much. And he said this to me. God wanted to confirm, because whenever the prophetic word is going, I'm looking for a confirmation. I'm looking for something that will connect to what I'm carrying in my spirit, so that I'll say, yes, that is it. And he mentioned, he said, God sent you to Australia like Joseph. When I heard that, I said, wow. Because years before I left Africa, the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'm sending you to Australia and you have a destiny like Joseph. He didn't know that. He didn't know anything. That he said, because the destiny, your destiny will be fulfilled, not in the nation of your birth, but in another place that I'm taking you. He said, destiny like Joseph. At that point, I said to him, I said, thank you so much, man of God. Let me just say this. You've just hit something on the head. This is what God said to me. And then he continued and continued also before we finish. Let me tell you, that place is not just we are moving into a campus. It's not just about the building. It's about destiny. It's about destiny. And destiny will require destination. And we've been on this destination for a while because God has been preparing the place and putting it together for us.
And in the fullness of time, in his own time, he's making it beautiful. That's why don't give up. The story of our campus is a proverb to us. Don't give up. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know whether things are looking impossible. I don't know the diagnosis you've been given. I don't know what the doctor says. I don't know what your situation, I don't know what your financial situation is saying. But in his time, in his time, he makes all things beautiful in its time. Lord, please show me every day as you're leading me your way that you do what you say in your time. When the circumstances are screaming at you, when the diagnoses are against you, when the records seem to not to conform to what the Lord is saying to you, is a time not to look to the circumstances, but to look up. It's called looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Don't fix your gaze on the problem. The more you fix your gaze on the problem, the smaller you become. But when you fix your gaze on Jesus, the smaller the problem becomes. Tell your neighbor, I say, fix your gaze on Jesus. Remember now your creator in the days of your youth. What are the days of youth? What is the age of youth? Anybody? Let me ask somebody in GMT. What are the days of youth? What is the age of youth? Anyone? Jaladi, what is the age of youth? 13 to 17. That is teenage years. 13 to 17. That's a good contribution. 13 to 17. But that's not the age of youth. What is the age of youth? Because if you say 13 to 17, that means that Demlad is already out of. And she's still one. She's not out. The age described or preferred by the UN as the age of youth is called from 13 to 24. In fact, from 15 to 24, actually. By the United Nations. You know, United Nations, they'll sit down, they'll have conference, they'll call the professors to come and big presentation. And then they say, this is now what? And the same thing has been adopted by Australia. Their youth is from 15 to 24. But still, not everyone has agreed to that. There's others who believe that youth is still can still extend up to 35, can still extend up to even about 40. That's why they say a fool at 40. Why is that? That means that by the time you are 40, you should what? You should know some things. You should be wise about some things. So you can still be a youth at 35. You can still be a youth up to that. That is the age of youth. But how is that defined? Why is that? What did they say from that period? Because number one, at that period, the body is still quite strong. In fact, in some cases, especially when you're a teenager, your bones are still growing. The body is strong. Your bones are strong. You're still growing. Until you get to a particular age that you don't grow anymore. Then you now start to acquire strength. Not growth, but strength. Amen? So he said, in those days, the days of youth, remember now your creator. Those are the days of youth. But why is it that God says we should remember now the creator in the days of youth? Why? Did he say that? Why did he say that? Why? Why? Because what you don't remember, you forget. You know that one of the marks of the end time is there's a major mark of the end time, of the age where we're living in. You know, sometimes my heart goes to the younger people because of the challenge that they face on a regular basis. When I was growing up, there was no Facebook. When I was growing up, there was no WhatsApp. There was no Instagram, Snapchat. Can you see that Snapchat, Instagram, you know, and all those ones? So with all of that, you know the consequences? Distraction is minimize. We went to church with our Bible. We didn't have cell phones. So when the message is going on, you are sure people are opening to the Bible. But today when message is going on, you are not sure whether they're on Facebook or on Snapchat or Instagram. Not that the person has deliberately doing that, but notification, bam. When notification comes, you click it. And then, oh, so-and-so has been bombed now. And at that point in time, maybe a word you've been trusting God for. A word that will transform your situation comes. I remember a man of God was sharing this. He said he went to church, you know, with his friend. And that friend had been going through a particular issue, a particular challenge, a particular problem. And they've been trusting God for breakthrough. They've been trusting God for breakthrough. They've been trusting God for breakthrough. And they went to church on that day. And suddenly, the pastor was ministering, was preaching. And yet the hand of God came upon him. The prophetic word came upon him. And he started declaring concerning the problem that was going through. And he was so excited. He was very excited. And he just quickly turned to his friend where he was sitting. His friend was like this. He was sleeping. Oh, and he just tried to wake him up. He said, did you hear that? He said, what? He missed the word that could have transformed his situation. He missed the word that God was releasing that could have changed it. That is why Jesus said, you know, be very in the last days. You know, one of the problems, the major problem of the last days is called deception. And why is that? Because of distraction. If you are distracted, you are likely to be deceived. That's why Jesus said that. Let's go there, Matthew 24. Let's go there. If you are distracted, you are likely to be deceived. One of the greatest things that God did for me, can I tell you? God delivered me from Facebook. I'm telling you, I don't go there. Somebody said, I saw you. I saw you online. No, you didn't see me any online. I'm not saying Facebook is bad, but when it becomes, you know, Facebook can become addictive. How do you know you've become addicted to it? When you wake up in the morning, that's the first place you go to check any message, to check what is this in on WhatsApp, to check all those ones. That's the first place you go to. First place you go to. Because I don't like to do things small by small. Anything I do, I just pour myself into it. So God delivered me so I won't pour myself into that. Let's start from verse 3. What did he say? Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming? And what? What will be the sign of the age? What will be the sign of the age? Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one word deceives you. Why will you be deceived? Why is there a likelihood of deception? Because of distraction. Because the moment you are distracted, then the enemy can present a wrong evidence to you. For many will come in my name saying, I am, and they will deceive a few. Many, and you hear a word, Ukraine. And you hear a word again, Hamas. You hear a word again, Israel. You hear wars and rumors of war. But see that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. but the end is not yet. Verse 7. For nations will rise against nation. Is it happening now? Kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines. And there will be... We just had one. What did they call it? No. Pestilences. You've forgotten already? Pestilences. You know? We just had one. And later I just saw in a flash somewhere, Biggie said the next COVID is the next pandemic. He was saying all of that. I just multiply myself out of it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Because some people enjoyed that COVID so much. While many of us were stuck in the house, many people were smiling to the bank. They were smiling to the bank. Some people became billionaires because of COVID. Ask the drug companies. Because of COVID. Pestilences. And what again? Earthquakes in various places. Verse number 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. These are the signs. That's why Jesus said, remember. Don't forget. When you are hearing of wars, remember the testimony of my faithfulness. When you are hearing of these, remember, don't forget. Remember. Not only that, let's go back. Why did he say in the days? He said, remember all of that. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Why? So that we can remain established in the truth that God is giving to us. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Okay, that's it there. It says, remember now your creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come. You know, there's some major characteristics of youth. Number one is what? Remember now your creator in the days of your, before the difficult days come. Men, youth don't, you don't have to think of family. You don't have to think of also what? Bills. Mommy is taking care of it. Daddy is taking care of it. Remember now. You don't have to pay it. So don't worry. So the days of before the difficult days come. You don't have any issue. It's a time of vibes. You know what is vibes? Little responsibility. Enjoyment. You're not thinking of anything. You just walk up to the kitchen. Food is there. You walk up to the fridge. It's there. You walk up to this place. It's there. It's there. Those are the days of youth. Number two is a time of strength. One of the ways to know youth are strong. They're strong. They're not as... Their backs are not bent. They're strong. That's why they can run. That's why the world champions, you will never see a world champion 100 meters at 40. No. They're already too old. How old are they? 22? How old? 19? How old? 21? Because that is the height of strength. In the 20s, in the early 30s, that's the height of strength. They're strong. Number three, the days of youth are days that youth are not weighed down by experiences. They are not weighed down by bad experiences. You know, one of the key issues of growing old is that you have opportunity of having a lot of experiences, and some of them are bad. Somebody say, I reject it in Jesus' name. You can reject it. But as long as you live in this life, you're going to have some experiences that are not what? They are not very good. They are bad. But the younger you are, you don't think about that. You know, about 2 years ago or less than that, when Israel and her mom came to Australia, and his mom came to Australia for the first time. He was about 10, 11 months there, about 10 months there. I put him on the kitchen table. I put him there on the kitchen table. And he was trying to walk. I left him.
and he was trying to walk. If I didn't hold him, he would have just walked off the kitchen table. He looked at him, was trying to walk on the... I just looked at him. He's not had any experience of falling from that place. So as far as he's concerned, he can just try to walk anywhere. A child will not see a car and be running away from it. The days of youth. Remember. Remember. I will finish this by taking us to this. Why must we remember? Let's go. I want us to go to 1 Timothy 4, verse 11. And read it from the Message Bible. From verse 12, Message Bible. You see the major reason why God wants youth to keep him in their remembrance all the time. Verse 12, see, and don't let anyone put you down because you are young. Don't let anyone put you down because you are young. Teach believers with your life. By what? Demeanor, by love, by faith, by integrity. Teach believers with your life. Your number one way to teach is not what you say, is what you do. You can say anything, but people are watching you. People are watching you. They are looking at your life. You may think nobody's seen. Many people are watching and seeing. Don't let anyone put you down because you're young. Teach believers with your life. By word. Hello? By word. By word. But it didn't stop there. By word. Dominion. And what again? By law. By what again? By what again? Integrity. By your word. But it didn't stop there. It now says, let's continue. Verse number 13. Stay at your post reading scripture, giving counsel and teaching. And that special gift of ministry you were given, when the leaders of the church laid hands on you and prayed and keep that dusted off and in use. Paul was writing to Timothy. Verse 15. Cultivate these things. Immerse yourself in them. The people will see you mature right before their eyes. Keep a firm grasp on both your character and your teaching. Don't be diverted or be distracted. Just keep at it. Both you and those who hear will experience salvation. So why, in conclusion, why? Why does he want? Because God wants the youth to be an example to their generation. The challenge today is that many times, many youth do not have models. There are no models to follow. So they look. I did a whole thesis on healthy adaptation of African migrant youth for my master's. A whole thesis. I wrote a whole thesis on it. And one of the problems that I found in talking to many youth, you know, was the fact that they had no role model. No role model. And you find sometimes children or some of these teenagers behaving in a way that you'd be wondering why. Because of lack of role models. And it's good to say that, but my father... and the rest of it like that. But how about youth to other youth?
You've been a role model in your class. You've been a role model in your school. You've been a role model when you go out. When they are making funny jokes, you've been a role model. And say, no, I can't, I won't, no, we don't do that. I don't believe in that. When they are doing saying something that are wrong, you don't join them, being a role model. He said, be an example. New King James says, be what? An example of the believer. Quickly, let's go there. Be an example, New King James, from verse 12. And this I will close. He said, let no one despise your youth, but be what? An example. I pray that you be an example to follow and not a disaster to avoid. I'll repeat, that you be an example to follow and not a disaster to avoid. Can people truly follow your example? Can they look at you and say, I want to pattern my life with the way he or she is living his life? So be an example to the believer in what? In word. And in what again? In conduct. In what again? In love. In spirit. In faith. In purity. In purity. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. In purity, meaning to keep yourself. Keep yourself. Don't allow yourself to be violated. It may not be popular, but that's the standard of the kingdom of God. Keep yourself. Somebody say, okay, but I like you. Can we try it? No. No. Keep yourself. Keep yourself. In purity. Keep yourself. In purity. If you have the advantage of listening, the advantage of hearing, then you also face the what? The challenge of responsibility. Because every revelation carries with it an equal amount of responsibility. Verse number 13. What does it say? Still I come. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying of hands of the eldership. 15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and doctrine. Continue in there. For in doing this, you will save both yourselves and what? And those who hear you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Can you just thank him for the word of God? Can we rise up on our feet? Let's rise up on our feet. We've been sitting down for quite a while. Let's rise up on our feet. Can we thank him for the word you've heard? Can we thank him for the word you've heard? God wants us to be an example to our generation, both the youth and adults. Sometimes we've thought that only adults are required to be an example. No, not adults, but everyone. Can your children follow your example? Hello? Can they say, yes, we want to be like daddy, want to be like mommy? Or, we're not too sure about this in this one. God wants us to be an example. God wants our youth to be an example. Father, in the name of Jesus, I present everyone before you this morning. This is not to condemn anyone, but dear Lord Jesus, is a call from you to higher standard of living. It's a call. I remember that song we used to sing it when we were younger in the faith. I found a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. Abiding in the vine. Abiding in the vine. Love, joy, health, peace. He has made us mine. Lord, thank you. Because love, joy, health, peace follow abiding in the vine. And we can't abide in the vine if we're not giving attention to the reading, to the exhortation, and being an example. Father, I pray for everyone right now. Help us. Grant us the grace to be an example. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, as we follow your example, the example Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Lord, as we follow, help us, Lord, grant us the grace to follow, that none of us will be distracted. None of us will fall out of the way in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you once again for our dedication coming up next week Sunday. Wow. Next week Sunday. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you have done thus far. Thank you for where we are now. Thank you for the things that we do in the days to come. Glory be to your name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.